Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled, The Christian First Aid Kit, was recorded at our 2010 Fort Worth Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
Jesus was not a pretty person. I don't believe he was necessarily ugly, but he was just normal. You know, some people are going to be offended by the things I say right here because they just have this romanticized impression and they're removed from the facts and they just have envisioned Jesus however they want to envision him. But the scripture reports that there was nothing in Jesus that looked supernatural. You know, if I would have been God becoming a man, I'd have been the best specimen of manhood that this world had ever seen. I'd make Arnold Schwarzenegger look puny compared to me. Man, I'd have been tall. I'd have been big. I'd have been one hunk. I'd have been good looking. I'd have done all of these things. But Jesus came and became like we were. There was nothing special about him. Jesus was not a pretty person. He wasn't one of those people that we desire. There may be some of you that don't feel very special and you feel like people have passed you over and that you've never been one of those that other people admire. Jesus went through all of that. Jesus was God in the flesh. He would walk down the street and see people that he created. And they didn't even acknowledge him. They didn't even know that they were walking down the street with their creator. Can you imagine what that would have been like to have been the God of the creation and looking at people and people don't even recognize who you are? There was nothing special about you. When you looked at Jesus' body, there was nothing special. And his disciples, I believe it was really hard for the disciples to really believe that he was God because he was just so human. And again, I hope this doesn't offend you, but you know, it was a shock to me when I realized some of these things that I'm saying to you. I remember in a Baptist church over in Garland, Texas, we were watching this film called The Gospel Road by Johnny Cash. I don't know if any of you ever remember that. But Johnny Cash put out a film about Jesus. And in the deal, they had a blonde-haired, blue-eyed hippie play Jesus. Which I was raised in the Baptist church. And if your hair ever touched your collar, you went directly to hell. You didn't pass go. You didn't collect anything. I was offended from the get-go and everything. And I knew Jesus wasn't blonde-haired and blue-eyed and I was just offended about everything. But as I watched it, they weren't even trying to portray what Jesus was like in his physical body. They were trying to portray what he was like on the inside. And I think in a sense, they chose somebody that was so out of character that you wouldn't be bothered or looking at the physical way that he looked. And in this show, one of the things that happened when he came down off of the Mount of Temptation, he started coming down and he got on a real steep spot and he started to slide and he finally just sat down on his bottom and slid down this hill. And when he got to the bottom, he dusted his rear off like this. And I was just like, oh God, Jesus would have never have done anything like that. And the Lord spoke to me and he says, how do you think I got down off that mountain? Did he just float from rock to rock and... No, Jesus got dirty. Did you know that he didn't have a Holiday Inn to stay in? He didn't take a bath every night. His hair got matted. He stunk. He didn't carry 5 suitcases with him. He wore the same clothes, maybe one change of clothes, but he was dirty. He stunk. He got sweaty. He got dirty. You know what? When you look at somebody who's like that, you can smell them coming. These guys lived with him 24 hours a day. They didn't have private rooms. They saw Jesus go to the bathroom. And you look at him and think, this is God. That's a little hard to wrap your brain around. You know, I'm what they call a lucid dreamer. I dream in color. I mean, it's amazing how I dream. There's very little, I sometimes can't tell if I'm awake or asleep. My dreams are so real. I can start and stop my dreams. I can go to bed and choose what I want to dream about. If I don't like my dream, I can stop in the middle of the dream and change it and say, I don't like this dream and dream it different. I don't know what that means, but that's what the... I've read articles and they say that's a lucid dreamer, and I dream in color and everything is so real to me, it's just amazing. And one time I had a dream that I was one of the disciples of Jesus, and I was walking with him, and I saw Jesus raise people from the dead, Dorcas, and I mean, not Dorcas, that was Peter, but the widow's son. And I saw him do all of these miracles, and I saw all of those things happen, and we were just praising God. I was one of the disciples, and we were so excited. And right in the midst of all of these miracles and excitement, we were walking down the road, and Jesus just turns around and sticks his finger right in my face and says, "But who do you say that I am?" That's the same question he asked Peter in Matthew chapter 16. And in this dream, I was looking at Jesus, and even though I had seen the miracles and I knew in my heart who he was, looking at him, he was just as plain as anybody in here. There was nothing special about him. Everything in my natural, my mind, my sight was saying, "You're just a man." But my heart was saying, "You're God." And there was this huge conflict. And I mean, I had to force myself. It took all of the faith I had. And finally, I came out with the same answer that Peter did. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And boom, my dream was over. But in that dream, I saw that those disciples, it was hard for them to really believe who Jesus was because of the package that he was wrapped in. Even though it was a sinless package, they looked at a man who got hungry, who got tired, who got dirty, who stunk, who sweat. And they looked at him, and everything in the natural says he's only a man. Because they were looking on the outside. They were walking as mere human beings. This is what was happening right here. He says, "Have I been with you all of this time and you haven't known me? If you have seen me, you've seen the Father." He wasn't talking about if you've seen his physical body. He was talking about if you've seen his heart, the way he dealt with people, how he came to set people free. You've seen the Father. Jesus, it says in Hebrews 1:3, was the express image of the Father. That means an exact copy, a perfect representation. Jesus represented God 100%. Nothing was left undone, but not in his physical body. His physical body is not a perfect representation. He was talking about his heart, his attitude, his actions, the way he dealt with people. And the sad thing is, most people don't know a person heart to heart. They judge you based on the external. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Let me just turn over and read this for a second. I'm not sure I quote the whole thing. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." Most of you probably don't have that verse underlined. This isn't a scripture that you put on your refrigerator. But you know what? This is a powerful verse. And I hadn't got time to put it all in its context, but verse 7 says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." In 2 Corinthians 4:18, we are looking at things that can't be seen. What's all of this talking about is that he doesn't judge things just on the external. It is not his flesh that he knew God in. He doesn't relate to any man any longer based on the flesh. Boy, what a powerful truth that is. You know, if we did that, such things as race and gender and all of these things would never be a problem. But we, mankind, natural fallen men, and even Christians, if they're carnal and not operating in the Spirit, they operate carnally. They base it on what they see and what they feel and all of these physical things instead of basing it on their heart. Paul is saying we don't know any man that way anymore. We don't relate to any person based on these external things. And he says we don't even know Christ anymore after the flesh. You know, Paul was raised in Jerusalem at the feet of Gamaliel. He was one of the Pharisees of the Pharisees. And Jesus, when he came to Jerusalem, I guarantee you, he turned the religious system upside down. And there's lots of accounts of all of the Pharisees and scribes being there and heckling Jesus and stuff. And so it's logical to think that Paul saw Jesus. Jesus was a central figure. And when he came to Jerusalem, Paul, I'm sure, had to have seen Jesus. He might have even been in the crowd that criticized Jesus. And so he had seen Jesus. I believe that when he was saying, we don't know Christ after the flesh anymore. I believe that Paul, if you would have asked, what did Jesus look like? He could have told you how tall he was, what his hair color was, what his eye color was, probably some things about him physically, some of his features. He knew Jesus after the flesh. He could describe his body, but he didn't know Jesus. He didn't know who he was until after the death and resurrection. And then he encountered the risen Jesus. And man, he fell on his face and said, who are you, Lord? I don't know who you are, but whoever you are, you're my Lord. Amen. He made the decision to submit right then. And the Lord revealed himself as Jesus. And he came to know Jesus. And Paul, who never sat under the physical ministry of Jesus, was not one of his intimate disciples. Paul had a greater revelation than the people who lived with Jesus for 3.5 years. Paul wrote half of the New Testament. Paul had a revelation that was so strong of the grace of God. It's really what established the church, so much so that Peter even said, our beloved brother Paul says some things that are hard to be understood, which those who are unlearned and unstable wrestle as they do the other scriptures. Peter called Paul's writing scripture in Paul's lifetime. Peter submitted himself. Paul rebuked Peter when he came to Antioch, and he rebuked him openly because Peter knew the truth about the gospel going to the Gentiles, and yet he was afraid of the Jews, and he compromised, and Paul rebuked him in front of everybody. Paul, who didn't even know Jesus in the flesh, but he knew him by the Spirit, was the one who became the leader and the founder of the New Testament and the one who actually took authority and precedent over the people who knew Jesus in the flesh.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach through his brand new series titled The Christian First Aid Kit. This 6-part series was recorded at our 2010 Fort Worth Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1070C for CD or R3213D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RSK-19C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, a number of months ago, we introduced the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. This is a Bible program where you get 3 versions of the Bible, 4 Bible dictionaries, study helps, maps, Greek and Hebrew words defined, and my footnotes on like 12,000 verses in the Bible. And the reason that I call it a living commentary is because it's still coming out. And there are updates every month, up to 400 verses of new footnotes every month. And so I advertised that a number of months ago, and we've had thousands of people take advantage of that. I decided to take these updates that we were charging for, the monthly updates, and we've now made them available free. So this has really increased the benefit of this program. And I encourage you to call and request information about the Andrew Womack Living Commentary.